This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Dunedin is many things to many people, but today we meet a guest who's seen glimpses of a medieval paradise. Kia ora and welcome to Sightlines, your guide to the visual arts in and around Dunedin. I'm Sally McMillan and this show is brought to you on behalf of the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Society. At various times in the history of Otipoti Dunedin, our city has been referred to as New Zealand's best kept secret. Perhaps it's our well-preserved architectural heritage, or it might be the beauty of our landscape, the hills, the harbour, the rugged Otago Peninsula, the desolate sandy beaches and our wildlife, not just the students, but the albatrosses and the sea lions, to name a few. But as Sightlines devotees know, Dunedin also punches well above its small city weight in a cultural context. In the late 19th century, wealth from the Otago gold rush made for a prosperous middle class who, with their old-world sensibilities, were eager to spend their money on the finer things in life. Art, books and artefacts from across the globe made their way into their homes and from there often into public collections by way of bequests to the Dunedin Public Art Gallery, Dunedin Public Library, Otago University and the Hocken Library, to name a few. Many of these collections are seldom on public display. They may be regarded as fragile, or to the contemporary eye they're also often regarded as old-fashioned. And so it takes someone with a particular interest in historic art to bring them out of safekeeping and challenge us to behold them in new ways. This month on Sightlines, we're talking to that someone. Anya Samarasinghe has a PhD in art history, which focused on 19th century art in New Zealand, and earlier this year, DPAG was pleased to welcome her as this year's curatorial intern. Anya, welcome to Sightlines.
Thank you, Sally. It's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations on your internship.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been a fantastic opportunity. It's one of a kind here in New Zealand, and it's a great way to gain hands-on experience as a curator, so I'm enjoying every minute.
You're just the woman for the job. Now, I've mentioned, I think, that you have a PhD, which is obviously very impressive. What else had you done before you came to Dunedin?
Yeah, so I've always had an interest in history and art. Last year, I had a postdoctoral fellowship working in the history department, and I was looking at a project looking at ancient Egypt and connections with New Zealand. So this involved, for example, researching what soldiers during the First World War wrote about ancient Egyptian monuments when they were stationed in Cairo. So I actually ended up coming down to Dunedin briefly to the Hocken to look at Charles Brash and the archive there, because he was also in Egypt in the 1930s on a dig. So there was like quite some interesting history through there. So I had some kind of awareness of some of the histories and collections. I have previous experience volunteering at art galleries and museums. But yeah, I really decided I wanted to be a curator, and this was a really good way to gain some hands-on experience, as I mentioned, and a way to kind of balance my academic research with something more public-facing and creative. So it's been fantastic.
Right. And I think another aspect of this role that is special is that you're getting to curate an exhibition yourself. And we want to talk about that in some detail later, but can you give us a quick teaser?
Yeah, of course. So Paradise of Imagination, Medieval and Modern Encounters is about exploring these exciting cultural legacies of the Middle Ages, expressed and shaped through art and artists. So the exhibition brings together artworks from the Middle Ages to today. So we've got painting, tapestry, sculpture, illuminated manuscripts. So a real wide range of visual and material sources. And it shows really the rich afterlife of medieval art as well, and how contemporary and more modern artists re-engage and connect with these quite imaginative stories and histories.
Sounds like a wide-ranging and fascinating exhibition. And of course, it opened on the 27th of September at DPAG, and it's on for some time. When does it finish?
It closes on the 8th of February, okay. So it'll be on till the summer. Yeah,
great. Now, you arrived in Dunedin in March of this year. How did you set about deciding what your curatorial exhibition was going to be?
Yes, so it did take a while to settle on an idea. So the internship is kind of framed in a way where you do need to spotlight or center the show on the collection. So I spent a lot of time researching the collection, doing a deep dive. I was quite familiar with the 19th century British painting through my PhD research, but I also wanted to dive a bit deeper and sort of explore what Dunedin had to offer more widely. So as I mentioned, I was down at the Hocken last year, but I also spent time at Toy 2 and Dunedin Public Library, and I came across the real rich social and material histories. So I wanted to do something that highlighted both the historical art holdings and also a way to spotlight the really exciting, vibrant research that curators, librarians, educators and scholars are doing here in Dunedin. And because the Middle Ages is such a wide expanse, so we're talking about 500 to 1500, there are plenty of opportunities to explore a whole range of styles and different types of artwork. So that seemed like the best way to approach a wide-reaching show.
Before you came to Dunedin, I know you've said you spent a bit of time at the Hocken, but had you appreciated what a range of available work that we have here?
Yes, well, I had a very small insight into what we do have down here in Dunedin, but I didn't quite know just how rich and varied the collections were. So as I mentioned, I was really impressed with Dunedin Public Library as well, and their Reed collection is fantastic. They've got some brilliant illuminated manuscripts there, and then kind of the other histories at the Hocken. So early New Zealand art history is really strong in that collection. And so coming from Auckland, I didn't necessarily know a lot about that. So it was really exciting getting to spend time with these collections and learn more about them.
Yes. And I suppose the thing to know too is that a lot of the work is not on display. So you have access to everything, not just what the public can see.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a way of kind of, yeah, bringing those stories that aren't well known to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of graduates working in art galleries have fine arts degrees, and contemporary art is their passion and their focus. But you're an art historian. What is it about historic art that draws and interests you?
As an art historian with an interest in the 19th century, I was aware of New Zealand galleries and how their substantial collections and their origins are really tied to 19th and 20th century art, and how that's quite a huge part of like the wider story of art in New Zealand. I'd always thought there's a lot of potential to showcase both that history along with newer contemporary histories. And I've found that it's perhaps like quite an encouraging way to attract people who aren't necessarily very enthusiastic about art or have more of a casual interest. And it's often like a good entry point, these historical works.
Do you find that people consider that sometimes contemporary art can be quite challenging intellectually, whereas sometimes what we might regard as old-fashioned art, landscapes and the like, is perhaps a little bit more accessible?
I find, yeah, sometimes historical art does seem quite accessible because they are quite easy to approach in the sense that they've got quite clear themes and they're often grounded in realism and those sorts of art historical movements. Whereas contemporary art, it's really exciting and there's some fantastic work down here in Dunedin. But perhaps to those who aren't, you know, who haven't approached a lot of contemporary art, this might need a bit more contextualisation. So, yeah.
Yeah. So Dunedin, I think, has a strong collection, and you've referred to this, of Victorian medieval work, including the manuscripts which were collected by A.H. Reed and donated to the Dunedin Public Library in 1948. And I think some of them are particularly special. They date back as far as the 15th century. Can you tell us about how you've incorporated some of those and other works into the exhibition, where you cleverly combine that very old work with other more contemporary work?
So with the illuminated manuscript, I think particularly in Dunedin, there are a lot of artists that engage with those sort of visual and material sources. So Dunedin-based Krishana Bush is an excellent example of this, as her artwork really does reflect the techniques of illuminated manuscripts and, for instance, Persian miniature art. So someone like that is a really good way to kind of bridge connections between the illuminated manuscript and medieval past and more contemporary ways of art making.
Yes, yes. And I suppose the thing about a lot of the older work is that It was done in a time when religion was a huge part of people's day-to-day lives. And now we live in a largely secular society, and yet a trip through any public art gallery will show you that contemporary artists continue to draw on the symbolism and iconography of religious art in different ways. What is your observation about that, and how are you referring to that in your exhibition?
Yes, so a lot of the artwork, of course, is very much grounded in religious iconography, and I feel a lot of people might recognise some of the symbols. However, if you don't, you can still appreciate the artwork because it's quite visually arresting. So while we may not have the exact contextual code to unpack all the symbolism and iconography, I think we can still appreciate these artworks.
Yes, yeah. I guess you're inviting people to respond to those in a way that's not informed necessarily by any religious or other belief, but purely aesthetically.
Yes, absolutely. It's a way of encouraging and inviting people to formulate their own opinions and glimpsing into the medieval imagination as well as our own kind of contemporary imagination too.
Yes, yeah. When you're electing to exhibit works across a broad time span, I suppose, you know, as a layperson, I'm looking at that and thinking you could end up with a complete aesthetic shambles, basically. How do you achieve some cohesion, Anya? What's your trick?
Well, Sally, this was very much a challenge because, as I mentioned, the Middle Ages is essentially a millennium of history. So I think guiding viewers towards kind of thematic threads was a way of unifying and scaffolding the exhibition. So for instance, I explored the theme of earthly and celestial paradise using the image of a garden. And the garden kind of repeats across different distinctive religious and cultural contexts. So across Judaism, Islam, Christianity. And so in Christianity, you've got the image of the garden, which looks at this idea of the Garden of Eden and return to paradise. And one of the illuminated manuscript images features St. Barbara in a rose garden, and this speaks to the feminine ideal embodied by the Virgin Mary, the Mother of Christ. And this ideal is subverted in the image of a young woman in a garden in an early 20th century painting on loan from Christchurch that's in the exhibition called In the Wizard's Garden. And then, of course, you've got Marilyn Webb's protection works that really reassert the female-driven inherited wisdom to care for and understand the natural environment, which she uncovers and explores through her Celtic and Māori heritage and identity.
Right. It's a hugely inclusive, I guess, is what we're seeing here.
Yes, yeah, I did want to have a diverse range of artists, materials and ways of communicating the medieval past.
This is your first exhibition. How have you found it to curate this? It sounds very challenging to me, but tell us.
Yes, so it has been challenging but also really exciting, and I'm getting a lot of support from the team at Dunedin Public Art Gallery. It's just such a learning process as well, so it's a real privilege to be able to do something that's both creative and research heavy.
Yes, yes. I want to go back and ask you a little bit more because I think viewers from Dunedin particularly are very interested to know, of the works that have been bequeathed to the gallery, the library and other Dunedin institutions, what can we expect to see in the exhibition? I think there are 25 works in total. Which of those are ones that Dunedin people will be particularly interested in seeing?
Yes, so we do have a wide range of sources. So some private loans, for instance. People in Dunedin may be familiar with Kushana Bush's Hours series, which was exhibited in, I think, 2016, 2017. So that's on private loan, and that'll be in the exhibition. Then we also have examples of Dunedin Public Art Gallery's own collection. So Edward Byrne Jones's Spess, which looks like a lancet window and stained glass, was gifted by the National Art Collections Fund in the 1930s. Also from Dunedin's collection, we've got Albrecht Dürer's engraving, which was purchased through the DPAG Society. And we've got another Victorian artist, George Frederick Watts's Eve of Peace, which was purchased through the National Art Collections Fund as well. Both of these are images of knights, which is quite like an emblematic image of the medieval world. And then, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Sally, we do have the medieval 15th century illuminated manuscripts from Dunedin Public Library that was donated or gifted by A.H. and Isabel Reed in the mid-20th century.
And if people, just as an aside, want to see those manuscripts, it is possible. You have to make a time, a booking, and prove your credentials, I think, by going to the Dunedin Public Library. But they are quite spine-tingling and magnificent when you see them in person. So it will be a privilege for people to be able to see them in your exhibition.
I guess I just want to say that this exhibition, I think, really highlights the power of collections in Dunedin and the work that's been done by other curators and researchers and librarians. We have been talking a lot about the Reed Collection, and currently Julian Smith has curated an exhibition based on A.H. Reed's, some of his items that were donated. So this is kind of happening in parallel with the exhibition. So you've got all these kind of broader connections that really highlight what a fantastic arts community we have here in Dunedin.
And have, in fact, had for a century or so now. Dunedin's history is rich, I think, when it comes to art. Anya, those who hadn't yet made plans to visit Paradise and Imagination are, I'm sure, checking their diaries as we speak. It's open at DPAG until February. You have done an amazing job of selling your exhibition today, and we wish you every success with that and with your future as a curator.
Thank you, Sally.
And now here's Ross Curry with the latest on the Dunedin art scene. This is Snapshot. Ross, let's start with DPAG. What's on this month?
Well, at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery, several exhibitions are coming to a close, so you'd better get down to the gallery quickly if you haven't seen these shows. Unutai'e is a show in which photographer Ann Noble documents the degradation of waterways in Kaitahu areas, supported by stories of residents who have been affected by this pollution. And this ends on the 12th of October. Reviving the Print ends on the 7th and Ririki Rarahi on the 12th. Two new shows, though, continue through the month. Modern Medieval Encounters, which we've just heard about, and H.K. Tairoa, and of course the rich ongoing exhibition of works from the permanent collection, continues on the ground floor in Huikau, where currents meet.
Let's head down to the railway station. There are things going on there as well.
Yeah, the Otago Art Society has its Ryman Spring exhibition at the railway station from the 4th to the 25th. All works are on sale, so you could get a piece of art at a reasonable price to enliven your home.
Get down there. And talk us through the Dealer Gallery shows in October, Ross.
Well, at the Brett McDowell Gallery, there's an exhibition of Lawrence Aberhart's photography from the 3rd to the 23rd. His crisp, distinctive black and white photographs speak of who we are and are poignantly understated. Justin Patton described him as, quote, an essential poet of New Zealand's past. This exhibition is followed from the 24th by another icon of New Zealand's art world, Dunedin-based Geoffrey Harris. Geoffrey was interviewed on our program in June 2023. And at the Milford Gallery, John Parker, one of New Zealand's foremost ceramicists, has a show from the 3rd to the 27th. Parker is known for his functional, austere, beautiful and elegant forms. The Moray Gallery has an exhibition of local painter Anton Lambart from the 4th to the 24th. He is known for his engaging and finely painted portraits that have viewers wondering what stories they tell. Congratulations to the Artist Room celebrating their 21st birthday and receiving regular gems of art from their regular artists through the month. Left Leaning is a group show at the Port Chalmers PC Art Gallery from the 3rd to the 10th. Included in the great lineup is work from John Z. Robinson, Robert Scott, Jerry Howitt, Dallas Henley and Ian Bretherton. And Gallery De Novo is showing Nick Dempster's acrylics and limited edition prints from October the 14th. Nick is known for his stylized paintings of urban and rural landscapes. And at the RDS Gallery, local photographer Murray Esdale has an exhibition opening on the 3rd and continuing through the month. Murray's work has a focus on architectural and industrial themes and human-infected landscapes. It's great to see the longevity of our local galleries who promote local artists and offer us a rich, varied and ever-evolving selection of work for collectors.
It's a testament, I think, Ross, to the support of art in Dunedin. It's great. Thank you. And thanks to you, our listeners. If you'd like to hear today's show again or listen to previous shows, you can find us on the Otago Access Radio and DPAG Society websites or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to join the Society, you can also find a form on our website or join at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery reception. Thanks to contributor Ross Curry and producer and DPAG Society President Jonathan Quelve. Join us again next month for another dive into the visual arts in Dunedin and beyond. I'm Sally McMillan and you've been listening to Sightlines.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.